Welcome. This is Liberty Land, episode number 9. We're doing it on the 20th of January, 2009. Today was Inauguration Day, by the way. That's kind of off topic for the podcast, because we're not here to talk about the inauguration today. We're here to talk about a Liberty Land special, a product you can only find at the mythical Liberty Land indoor range and gun shop of the future. Several podcasts back, I was recording, and I happened to pick up a Nerf N6 revolver that I had received as a Christmas present for my sister this last holiday season, as a matter of fact. And it's quite the fun gun to play with. It shoots these little foam darts, and they stick really well on, like, computer screens and glass. You know, they'll even stick to smooth plywood, like interior finished plywood, for a short time. But the air bleed is excessive, and they do pop off after 1 or 2 seconds. They're there long enough for you to know where you hit. On a computer monitor screen, they'll stick very well indeed. Enough to be able to call patterns and, you know, shoot patterns. Shoot the number 6, shoot a cross, shoot a circle, shoot a slash, shoot a square, you know, that kind of thing. So they're neat little guns. And I had commented myself that it would be an interesting pistol to modify because of the heft of the gun, the look of the gun. Only I wanted to upgrade them to be able to shoot a 5-ounce steel dart at 350 feet a second, you know, which you patently could not do with the plastic frame that it's made with. But, you know, as a pattern for look and appearance, I think it's worthwhile. Well, today, I'm rummaging around the internet and come across a concept called steampunk pistols. And these are prop guns that people manufacture to look similar to weapons that are available in, I think, a video game called Steampunked. Although I thought it was actually a genre of science fiction literature. You know, kind of, I've seen examples of it. It's non-electronic. And there's currently, I know there's a first-person shooter game that's out because both my boys are playing it. And it's set in the distant future as a result of something that happened in the 40s or 30s. With, you know, plenty of, it's a first-person shooter. You know, you wander around, you blow shit up. You know, there's quests and various and sundry places you have to go and things you have to get to advance a storyline. But it's just mayhem start to finish. And in that game, I believe they have some steampunkish looking pistols and rifles and light machine guns and howitzers even. I believe there's actually a personal atomic bomb launcher. Yeah, now, there's a hell of a piece of ordnance for you. So anyway, the look of it has spawned a whole bunch of people who've modified the Nerf N-Strike. This is the Nerf N-Strike Maverick Rev-6, you know, which is a toy. But they look really cool. So I'm thinking at Liberty Land, we need to actually commission the construction of one of these devices. But it needs to, in fact, be able to throw a 5-ounce steel rod, or say a 3-inch long 5-ounce steel rod with a polymer tip at velocities approaching 350 feet a second. You know, it would be neat if you could dial it up from, let's say, you know, it was really pretty effective at 50 feet a second. You know, if you can dial it from 50 to 100 and go from a nuisance blow to a crippling blow, that would be a cool thing to have. You know, would it qualify as a firearm? I mean, it doesn't use any propellants like gunpowder or primers to accelerate projectile, doesn't use rocket motors. There's nothing explosive about it. It's just a compressed air weapon. You know, a highly modded, bizarre-looking compressed air weapon. You know, and in the home defense mode, it should also be heavily built enough to make a damn good club. You know, something with some heft to it. I see a steampunk weapon weighing in at 8 pounds. When you pick it up, you know you got it in your hands. You know, with a feeling of solidity to it, you know. So it should be manufactured as a projectile weapon, but, you know, manufactured as a projectile weapon with the idea thoroughly in mind that it's also a very blunt, heavy object. And if it's balanced correctly, it becomes a short staff. You know, you can do a lot of damage with something like that. Great home defense weapon, especially for urban areas where over-penetration might be an issue. I mean, there's no possibility that the round would be able to penetrate drywall, several layers of drywall, through a human body and on out the back of the house. You know, that wouldn't happen with this particular type of design. And that's the kind of thing that Liberty Land needs to get involved with. You know, we need to theorize about, you know, what is actually a weapon? You know, what fits in the niche that we occupy here in the gun world? You know, the revolvers and semi-automatics, the lever actions, the bolt actions, the guns that populate our collections as they evolve and expand and contract. You know, that goes along with everything else in your life. You know, an avid collector's collection does not steadily increase. I mean, at least, well, it may in some cases, I suppose. But I haven't run into a guy yet that could keep every gun he ever got. That'd be another marketing aspect for Liberty Land, you know, because we've discussed in an earlier podcast about the desirability of establishing a chain of custody on a particular weapon. You know, you buy it new from the manufacturer through a distributor. You sell it to the first guy that buys it. When he decides he wants to trade it or eliminate it or needs money, you buy it back. You got a, you know, first right of refusal on every gun you sell. You know, a tacit agreement between you and the customer that if you ever decide to sell this weapon, would you please call us first? You know, we will certainly have the money to buy it, you know, if we can come to terms. So first right of refusal is a mechanism that we would, a mechanism that would allow us to establish a chain of custody over numerous ownerships. I know from personal experience that it's not uncommon for the same gun to come back to the same gun shop in a period of a year 6 times and be purchased by new buyers each time, loved and appreciated for what it was, tired of, and traded to get something else. I've seen that dynamic occur. You know, so if instead of struggling to sell a brand new gun to a brand new customer every time, you know, if you can build a customer base and just support their need for change, that should lead to a successful shop. And repeated exposures would aid us in our quest to increase the role, standing roles of libertarian-oriented individuals in Georgia so that we might have a greater voice in political contests and actually have the libertarian position on some topics, all topics hopefully, but some topics anyway, become part of the normal, natural, national discourse. You know, libertarian ideas like the like property rights. Yeah.
Does Doug still have that machine that will unscratch disc?
Do what? Yeah. Did you scratch another disc?
Teddy did.
All right. He'll polish it, but, you know, we can't guarantee it works. Okay. Anyway, getting back to Liberty Land and the idea of chain of custody and the idea of custom one-off steampunk pistols that throw 5-ounce darts at 350 feet a second and got, like, dial gauges on them. You know what I mean? The mechanical operations. You know, try to stay away from anything that that is silicone. You know, no LEDs, no LCDs, you know, knobs that click, you know. Gauges that move, you know, a pressure gauge that tells you what's left in the tank. You know, your max charge at, I don't know, a butt tank on something like that should be 5,000 PSI. You know, and that tells you it's a 70-shotter. You know, because, you know, it's kind of like those nitrous oxide systems. So, you know, hell, use nitrous oxide. Nitrogen, perhaps. I don't know. You know, whatever kind of fill gas gives the best bang for buck. I don't know whether or not you need or want a nitrogen filling station in a gun shop. I could see regular CO2, you know, the paintball gun level pressurizations would be sufficient. I mean, fucking paintballs are big. Hell, mods and paintball guns. Those are steampunk guns already. Ah, you see, it's just a never-ending world. It's a never-ending world of innovation, change, and newness at the Liberty Land Indoor Range and Gun Shop. The finest deals in the city on the finest weapons available. Be able to hook you up with the best trainers in the business in Metro. Some of these guys live here. Some of these guys come through here on a regular basis. You know, I'm talking about people that make their living doing this. You know, huge, huge potential. Just absolutely huge potential. At some later podcast, I'm going to discuss the regimental concept. I'd like to try an organizational structure, an honorary regiment. You know, I mean, nothing military, in name only. You know, some pomp, some circumstance. You know, get to wear a cool uniform. You know, you're a member of the regiment, you know, and regiments, in turn, belong to brigades. You know, so if you're a member of the 1st Regiment or the 2nd or the 3rd, those three regiments form the 1st Light Brigade. Or maybe 2 regiments form a light brigade, 3 regiments form a heavy brigade, you know. And you can put a corps in the field by mobilizing all the brigades, however many brigades you end up with, you know. A regiment, ideally, should be about 1,000 guys, you know, and 3,000 guys, 2 to 3,000 should make a brigade, you know. 3 brigades and you got a corps, you know, in my mind. Anyway, in terms of the structure for the honorary regiments and brigades that I'd like to see the Libertarian Party in Georgia establish, you know, to celebrate who I think are probably core prospects for inclusion in the libertarian fold. We need to certainly look at conservatives, as libertarians always have, but we also need to look at the niche markets in conservatism. People who view politics through the lens of the Second Amendment are a niche inside conservatism, and I don't feel they really have a voice, an effective voice, or even a voice that's heard, you know, aside from the many individuals that are currently engaged out there on similar quests. You know, there's tons of gun blogs, there are some gun podcasts, there's people that do commercial talk radio. Tom Gresham's one guy that I've run into repeatedly on the internet. And he sounds like a regular AM radio guy. And I listened to like 2 minutes of one of his shows and it didn't hook me. But I think that's because I have a much different delivery style. It's a monologue and it's a stream of consciousness. I'm not real conscious of trying to get things done in certain sound bites because I feel that pushes the dialogue at too high a rate of speed. And I'm just not comfortable talking about stuff at extremely high rates of speed. Now, you know, unlike anybody else, I get excited about a topic and I can rev it up. But I just don't ever want to sound like radio. I don't want to do that because I think that takes an element of podcasting out of it. You know, this is a kind of like a personal view of things. You know, as you would sit and ponder things to yourself, you know, as you work through the great questions of your life or the actual nuts and bolts of getting an indoor range and gun shop organized, installed, and operating, you know, so that we can try some of these grand experiments, you know, and see how some of the marketing concepts that I'd like to implement at Liberty Land affect the marketplace, and then hopefully, you know, draw members for the party, you know, so that the larger work can be done, you know, so that we'll have the resources in terms of hands and minds and cash, you know, to turn our attention to some of the things in America that I feel are worth addressing on a political front. You know. And three regiments of not even dedicated libertarians, three regiments of half-assed dedicated libertarians, guys that can maybe squeeze a day a month out, or half a day a month. You know, if they live close enough, they can get by for an evening. You know, but everybody's got a very full life. I mean, shit, most of us working over 40. And, you know, we've got family things we've got to accommodate. Kids are in team sports. You got to go to the games. They're in public school or private school. You have to attend school functions. Life is very busy and very full. So, and you got to have a modicum of success to be a member, too. Think about that. You got to have enough money to where you can afford to go and shoot or go and buy guns or buy bullets for the guns you got, you know. It does you no good at all to shoot up your existing stocks of ammunition only to discover you have none left. I mean, that's not seriously being ready. Oh well, running up on 13 minutes. So episode number 9 of Liberty Land, the Gun Shop of the Future, is coming to a close. We've covered steampunk pistols, we've covered some political philosophy, and we've covered some elements, nuts and bolts elements, of actually getting the project done. But hey, I think one of the first steps is getting all this data down in a podcast format so that it can be shared relatively easily. And if anybody ever wants to comment or expound on anything I've said, you know, certainly feel free. Boot the shit around. Spread the word. You know, the idea is make a big enough ripple in a pond, draw some attention, and see what happens. All right? If we can get it funded through donations, I'm a happy clam. If we can attract the attention of an individual with actual money, I'm a happy clam. I just want to see the job go forward. And with that, I wish you a good night, and thank you for your attention.